Him. Now thank we all our God. What a blessing it is to be together again in this beautiful day, this Thanksgiving day, let us invite the Lord into our presence this morning. Our Father which art in heaven, we give thanks for the many, many blessings that we received from your hand. Lord, what a joy it is to know that you provide for your children, even as you have promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we have so much more than just that protection and just that promise. And so for the blessings of the past year and for those that we anticipate in the coming days, Lord, we do give thanks. We pray that as we have come to this place of worship this morning, that indeed we would praise your holy name and give you thanks for your great love and for your mercy. We ask it all and give praise unto you, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to read from one of the Psalms. I think there's no better place than in Scripture that deals with thankfulness to God than in the Psalms. And I'd like to read Psalm number 30. And then from there, I will make reference to other scriptural verses that I'll just read them to you. You may have trouble keeping up simply because of the time factor and the need to keep things moving. Psalm number 30. This is a prayer of thanksgiving. This was sung at the dedication of the house of David, according to my scripture. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I shouldn't go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee, and shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Psalm number 30. The topic I chose this morning to kind of encapsulate Thanksgiving is to look at Thanksgiving from a biblical perspective. We'll just take a moment at the outset to discuss very briefly how the world chooses to celebrate Thanksgiving. Family, food, friends, and more food is probably the best way for me to characterize it. But you often wonder whether in the world around us people have somebody or something to give thanks to. And how often do people take God's word and remember Him at this time of thanksgiving? We understand that, even as the psalmist David did when he wrote and gave thanks to the Lord. And what a blessing it is to have the ancient word to lead us in those areas and showing us how to praise and how to worship the Lord. Thanksgiving was originally a religious observance for all members of the community. They were to give thanks to God, and they had that common purpose. The modern Thanksgiving holiday originates from the 1621 celebration at the Plymouth Plantation, Massachusetts, where the Plymouth settlers held a harvest feast after a successful growing season. And this was continued in later years, first as an impromptu religious observance, and later as a civil tradition. And I think that's what it is for most people in this country today. It is a civil tradition. Number one, we get the day off. It's a federal holiday. And so many of us don't have to work today, at least in the usual way that we work during the week. In 1789, George Washington made the first Thanksgiving Day proclamation. And that's very interesting that he did make reference to God and to providence for God's grace and for his help and for his mercy. And in the middle of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a National Thanksgiving Day, and it was to be celebrated on the final Thursday in November of 1863. And it's been celebrated every year since. Some presidents in their Thanksgiving proclamations have referenced thanking Providence, thanking God, and George Washington, I mentioned, was one of those. And Abraham Lincoln also made reference to God. In fact, in the middle of the Civil War, he asked the nation to pause and to give thanks for tranquility throughout the country, except among the military troops that were fighting. Have any of you read this year's proclamation by the president? Well, it's posted a number of places on the internet. Many newspapers carried it exactly as it was written. President Obama's proclamation, I'd like to read just a couple of sentences to you. As we stand at the close of one year and look to the promise of the next, we lift up our hearts in gratitude to God for our many blessings, for one another, and for our nation. And another sentence. As we gather in our communities and in our homes, around the table or near the hearth, we give thanks to each other and to God for the many kindnesses and comforts that grace our lives. Let us pause to recount the simple gifts that sustain us and resolve to pay them forward in the year to come. So twice in the Thanksgiving proclamation, our president made reference to God. And in the same sentence, of course, thanked all of those people in his life and in the lives around us, including the military people who help this nation remain a free country. Well, how does Thanksgiving differ for the Christian? As you're well aware, Thanksgiving is always to be a part of the Christian life. To have a special day for Thanksgiving is very nice, but it's certainly not something that we're supposed to neglect the rest of the days of the year. I think Thanksgiving for the Christian is acknowledging and confessing the benefits and mercies that God bestows on us and upon others. It is something that should be done with a grateful heart. With joy, we should give thanks unto the Lord. In fact, it's required of all believers, and regardless of what their attitude is, we should give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The idea of acknowledging God by giving thanks, an acknowledgement is what? A recognition, an admission, it's a remembering, it's even anticipating what God has done and will do for us. It's a thankfulness for what we've been blessed with. It is an anticipation of what God will do for us in the future. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. God provides the increase. God gives the blessing, regardless of what our role may have been or we think it may have been in bringing it about. It is God who gives the increase. And at this time of the year, I think of all of those people who are involved in food production, farmers, those who own orchards. And I can imagine, you know, a ladder and climbing and picking the apples and being thankful that all of the fruit is brought in to the storehouse. I think that's the original idea of Thanksgiving, was that the harvest was over and the fruit was gathered. And the preparations for a long, hard winter, perhaps, certainly it was on the East Coast for the Plymouth Colony and others in those early days, the harvest was taken in, and there was a thankfulness that it was done. Sure, the farmer may have sprayed his crops, and he may have tilled the soil, but it was God who gave the increase. Man did his part, but it's God who ultimately gives the increase. And I think that's true for any of us. Whatever role in life we play, it is God who gives the increase. Whether it's in the family, whether it's at work, whether it's at church, we can do our part and we can provide the services that we can. But it is God who gives the increase, and we need to be thankful for that. Confession, I believe, is another part of the thanksgiving that a Christian shows to God. Confession in the Bible typically relates to two things. It relates to either an admission of sin, of guilt, a confession of wrongdoing, or it is a profession of belief in a particular faith. And I've chosen a portion out of 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. Israel was encouraged to give thanks unto the Lord, to make confession, to stand behind the doctrines of the Bible and the Scripture and confess that indeed we are the children of God and we have much to be thankful for because of His daily providing for our needs. Even Paul wrote something rather similar in Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession is a part, or should be a part, of our thanksgiving. Confession in the sense that this is what we believe, and this is where we stand in regard to the Bible, in regard to God, the fact that He exists in a culture where there's less and less attention paid to Him. Ancient Israel also made sacrifices as a part of their thanksgiving to the Lord. God's people followed the law. They made sacrifices of thanksgiving in Psalm 107:22 and 116:17 and Amos 4:5. All of these were examples of actual sacrifices that were offered to God. They were various peace offerings according to the Old Testament. And some of these peace offerings are called fellowship offerings or heave offerings or wave offerings. They gave God thanks for unsolicited blessings. They gave God thanks for what He did, independent of whatever they asked for or whatever they needed. It is those things that we're not even aware of sometimes. Or if we do become aware of them, it's almost a surprise to us that it worked out the way it did. Sometimes these sacrifices accompanied a request or a vow that was made to God. And so somebody would vow, and to show that they were going to keep that vow, they would make a sacrifice. The Levites would take care of a sacrifice for them. And they made a vow to God. And also there were free will offerings that were spontaneously presented as a consequence of their worship and their praise. And of all the various offerings that the Scripture talks about, particularly in the Old Testament, the free will offering is the one that we're probably most familiar with, because that's how we practice giving to the Lord, particularly in a financial way, a free will offering. Nothing that is required of anyone, but it is done out of the bounty of our hearts, out of a thankfulness to God. Also, the Israelite nation, as a consequence of thankfulness to God, in addition to giving sacrifices, in addition to making confession, they also sang praises of thanksgiving. We read in Psalm 147, 7, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God." And Psalm 107, 21 and 22, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." So we've got singing, we've got sacrifice, and sacrifice in terms of free will offering. We have confessing that God indeed is God and that he is the provider of all that we have and that all that we need. God gives the increase, and it is a consequence of his love and his mercy toward his children. Most of all, however, in the course of thanksgiving, we should be thankful for our salvation. And I suspect if I were to ask each of you, or most of you, what you are most thankful for in your life, as it relates to the biblical message, you would say, or I would hope you would say, it is your salvation. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." What gift have you not been thankful for? The gift of salvation is the greatest thing for a Christian to be thankful for. Hebrews 10:11, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." Daily making sacrifices for sins and for the people. "But this man," Jesus Christ, "but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God." Jesus, one sacrifice, his life, his body, his shed blood. We have much to be thankful for. We should thank him for answered prayers. We should thank him for prayers that he will answer in due time. Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Yes, request. Yes, be willing to submit yourself to what God's answer is. But do it all with a spirit of thanksgiving and with joy in your hearts in doing so. We have much to be thankful for as we reflect back on the past year, and as we anticipate the coming year. May we trust that God will provide the blessings, that God will provide for our needs, that God will take care of each and every one of us, and that in all things, at all times, to be thankful for God's provision. Don't let it be said of you as it was said by Jeremiah to the disobedient people of his time. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And I know that there are some here who that applies to. The harvest is past, Thanksgiving time is here, but can you say in your heart, honestly, before God, just to yourself, I am most thankful for salvation, that the shed blood that Jesus once sacrificed, that applies to me? I know that there are some here who cannot say that. And being disobedient, as the people were in Jeremiah's time, so some of us are today, because the harvest is past, and we are not saved. Isaiah 55:6 says this: Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, the psalmist said in number 30. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. May God bless the word to us this morning. This time I'd like to turn it over to Brother Steve. I understand that he would like all of the men to come forward, and in the spirit of praise that we may sing thanks unto the Lord, please come forward and Steve will tell us what to do.